Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when he went off to college, he found out about an urban legend. Was it a legend? Or did he actually encounter them?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. You can call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you prefer getting an ad-free version of the show, you can do that. You'll also get advanced episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Kathy Gordon, you know, I referred to him in the intro to this story as he. I don't know if it's a he or she, so if he or she listens to this, I apologize if I'm getting your gender incorrect, because I'm very hypersensitive to that. I do want to get the gender and the pronouns correct. I just don't know if I'm going to.
Well, we don't always know because they don't always tell us. And then sometimes
this one did not have a name.
Okay. Sometimes it just, you know, it feels like he or she, and we just use that. But we don't always know. So let us know. We want to use the right one.
So if he's like, this really sounds like my story, except I'm a woman. Then I apologize in advance for that. So this has this kind of urban legend feel to it.
Okay.
So we'll discuss it and kind of see where it goes, you know, as we're going along. So here it is. And then we'll discuss it. Okay. So this is a recounting of an experience, if my memory serves me correctly, that happened to me about 7 or 8 years ago. I was 19 at the time, fresh off of my gap year after high school, and had been accepted into a university I planned to attend. At the time, I lived with my parents in a town about 150 miles or 240 kilometers away from the university, so I rented out a single-room apartment in the city where my college was. When the day to leave came, I said goodbye to my parents and made the decision to travel alone to the other city. Life for me had been hectic at the time, so I craved some alone time for a while now, and this seemed like a good opportunity to get my mind off things and just drive for a few hours. Here's the part as a mother that's going to get to you, Kathy. So your kid, even though your kid had a gap year, your kid's going off to college.
Right.
But it says, I love night drives, so I left around 11 p.m. As a mother, would that have freaked you out? Would you have been like, no, you're not driving 150 miles and leaving at 11 o'clock at night? You can get up in the morning and do that.
Yes, and that would have made me crazy. But apparently it didn't bother my mom too much because I used to do it all the time.
Well, our mom didn't really give any shits.
I'd leave Lawrence at midnight and drive clear to, you know, across the state. And my mom never thought much about it.
Your mom didn't even know you were going.
That's true.
She didn't even live in either one of those towns. She had no
idea
what
we
did.
As a college student, you just go when you want to go, you know. And if you're a night person and you drive better at night, then you'd leave at night. So I get it. But it's, you know, as a mom, I would be a little panicky.
It makes me think, though, that his mom argued with him on this, or her, since we don't know. So it continues and said, I used Google Maps to get onto the highway. It was a straight long road to the city, making the app useless from that point on. Except for one unexpected development. Around 1 a.m., I came across a sign instructing me to take a diversion. So they must have been pretty close to where they were going.
Well, yeah, because if it was only 150 miles away and
so
they've been driving
later.
2 hours,
yeah,
they must
so
be
almost there.
There,
right?
Yeah, right.
Around 1 a.m., I came across a sign instructing me to take a diversion. There was repair work on the road ahead, so I was forced to take a detour to get back onto the highway. I took out my phone to see directions, but found out that it had switched off. I remember realizing that I had left my charger at my house. I still do here and there, even today. Don't we all? I will add in.
Yeah.
With no directions to refer to, I had to find a route myself. Until now, I still wonder why the thought to ask the road workers for directions hadn't crossed my mind back then. So I took a left turn and drove down an empty street for a while. There were no vehicles except mine that late. After a few minutes...
Okay, so Wait a minute. So he's not in the country. It sounds like he's in
town.
Did
say a street.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So after a few minutes of driving, I ended up at a bridge. Near the bridge was a small road into some kind of small village. I figured the bridge would lead to a populated town, so I took it. See, this is where I get a little bit confused, so I'm not totally sure. So I took it, but as soon as I got on it, I had a gut feeling and I stopped the car. Something felt off about this whole thing. I got out of the car and walked on the bridge. What I saw shocked me. After a turn, I found out that the bridge was not fully constructed. It dropped off in the middle and construction equipment was below, but there were no lights or people. I got back to my car and took the small road leading to the village. I still remember the sound of tree branches scraping the roof of my car as I drove. I reached a residential area with a few houses around me. I thought of asking the residents living in them for directions, so I got out of the car. So then I have a whole bunch more questions after that, because how is there no warnings that you're getting ready to go onto a bridge that is not even there?
Yeah, that's really scary.
Because it said the bridge was not fully constructed. So that had to have, did he go around warnings? And like, I could see you going around a detour, getting lost, but getting
even
back
out
on
in the
road,
middle of nowhere, if a bridge is not there, there's going to be like barricades and big flashy lights or, you know, reflector lights or something. They're not going to let you get on a bridge.
No. And so I think that's so weird. Then it says, I got out of the car and walked onto the bridge, which is also weird. Like, I'm getting a weird feeling. So I'm going to get out and walk on the bridge. Normally you would turn around and go, I am lost AF and I do not know where I am. So I think that's weird. And then, so it's now middle of the night because it was 1 a.m. a little bit ago. And then it says, I reached a residential area and I thought of asking the residents living in them for directions, so I got out of the car, which would be really, like, last thing you want to do is walk up to anybody's house in the middle of the night. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So it says, as I got out, I heard the sound of another car. Sure enough, there was another car pulling up behind mine. It was a white vintage car, probably restored from the 70s or 80s. I walked over to the car and saw a young couple in there. I remember they were dressed in old-fashioned formal clothes and were probably the same age as me. They got out and we conversed about how we got here. They said they were heading to the same destination as me, had diverted from the highway, got lost, and even noticed the bridge. I was glad to know I wasn't alone in this fix and this gave me confidence. I told them to check the directions on the Maps app on their phone, but they said they didn't have one. That was strange. I drove through the town after that. There was nobody on the streets. I opened my windows to get some air and noticed a creepy building. It had vines growing all over it and had been abandoned for over a decade. It was pitch black and not lit from the inside, too. The signboard outside indicated it had once been an ice factory. This was unsettling enough, but what was even creepier was the fact that I distinctly remembered seeing and hearing a running television playing a song on the balcony to the first level and a hissing teapot next to it. This sounds like a drug-induced, like, it's weird because it says, like, there's no, like, he's driving the car and then sees this ice factory building and then heard a TV on the first balcony and a hissing teapot next to it. I don't get all that. The opening to the balcony was unobstructed and there was nobody there. I reached a railroad crossing after about 10 minutes of driving through the village, and just as I arrived, a train passed by. I could see the lights of the highway beyond the crossing, and I felt relieved. After the train crossed, I drove out and connected onto the highway. Then I remembered the couple were heading to the same destination as me. I turned and looked behind me, but they weren't there. Apart from me and just a few other cars on the highway, the railroad intersection was completely deserted. Let's skip to a few months later. I had settled into college and recounted this incident to a friend. He was shocked to hear me. Apparently, there was an urban legend around this city that a family got into an accident on the highway decades ago. Apparently, they had eloped after the girl had gotten pregnant with a man's child, and they'd run away fearing the girl's father. They'd gotten into a road accident while traveling and were instantly killed. Some say the girl's father did this, but nobody knows the truth. Till now, what fascinates me about this incident is the sheer impact of it on my life. Just the thought that the souls of the couple stuck in the area in which they died, which ends with a railroad crossing, for eternity, seeking help from travelers in hopes of finally leaving that place, drives a chill up my spine. And I hope it will for the listeners on the show, too. So it's, see, it's like the urban legend story.
Yeah.
But some of it just seems weird to me. But then, after I read this story the first time, you know, I remember our dad telling me, I'm sure he was in the Air Force at the time, but I think he was in Nebraska at the time.
I was thinking about that story too.
Like, he was driving by himself and he was really tired and there was somebody hitchhiking and he picked him up because he thought it would help him stay awake. And so they talked and they talked and they talked and they talked and they talked. And then they stopped someplace and got coffee. And then Dad said something about the guy, because he looked around, couldn't find him. And the person at the restaurant or whatever it was, because there wouldn't have been a lot of convenience stores back then. I'm sure it's some 24-hour diner he went into. They're like, "What guy?" And he goes, "The guy I came in here with." And they're like, "You didn't come in with anybody." He said it was so real. This guy was in his car.
Yeah, and it I remember was like, that. Was like him telling that story.
So he was like, "Was I just so delusional because I was so tired? Was I kind of dreaming things? Or was it paranormal?" And that's what this reminds me of, because this doesn't make sense. Like, the bridge being half gone.
But it wouldn't make sense. Paranormal doesn't make sense. Right. So, I mean, I can't rule it out because, you know, everything doesn't go in some sort of straight line to the answer. But... And you know, you would have these odd things. You know, I kept thinking Hotel California when I'm listening to this. You know, like, you're in this town and you can't seem to, it's just creepy and you're trying to get out, you know. And then you see the lights up and you go, "Oh, thank God, you know, they're the lights up there." But could this have all been like, there never were any guys to tell him to go on a detour for real people? Maybe this was just some strange paranormal thing that sent him down there.
Or did he really even go down there? Like, did all that really, really even happen? Or was it more of a dream state, a paranormally induced dream state? Because there's so many weird things that happen in the story. Like, does he listen to this story like, "Yeah, she's right. That was some weird shit that happened." You know, I do. I've heard of those urban legend stories where people are like, "That actually happened to me." I don't know. But it did remind me of the one that our dad had shared about the...
I know. That's what I was thinking as you were telling it. I was thinking about that one, thinking, you know, how you run into somebody, but they weren't really there, and how he saw this other couple and, you know, went and talked to them, and which... I thought was seemed incredibly brave. I'm not sure I could just walk up to another car at 1 or 2 in the morning and
Like, he was going to go up to a residential neighborhood house. Like, why wouldn't you look for a convenience store or something? I'd be driving around for hours looking for, or go into a hotel or someplace that would be open.
Yeah.
You know, because, man, people get shot for knocking on the wrong door.
Oh, yeah, you don't do that. No, you wouldn't do that. Not anymore. I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is impossible. I think there are these stories you hear about people that, you know, go into some sort of town or some sort of building or some sort of place, and then they go back and that was never there. Like, I would be interested, since they, I don't know if they still live in that area, to try to get off the beaten path and see if you could find that again.
Well, saw it one time. Seems like you could again.
Right. I mean, you know, maybe you know about where you went off to, you know, go on this detour. If you're still in that area, go see if you can find the town.
If you're brave enough.
You know, and if the town's there, I'm guaranteeing you, you saw it, you experienced all of it.
Because I think the part that bugs me the most is the bridge. Like, how you could drive onto that. Like, it see, like you would have had to get so lost and gone around so many barriers to have even gotten to a highway that the bridge is gone.
That's, yeah, that's maybe the scariest part of everything.
So that's where it makes me think.
Driven right off that bridge.
Did that really happen? Is that just, is that all paranormal? Was it, you're driving so late at night?
I'm saying there's one way to find out.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's another story for us today.
My name is Alexandra from El Paso, Texas. I basically want to share, not really, it's an experience that I've been having for basically like over a little bit over a month now. The only thing I can say is that it doesn't really scare me or anything. It's just some strange things that have been happening to me and actually my mother as well. Basically, what's been happening is I find myself waking up every night, well, actually every morning, exactly like around 3 a.m. in the morning. And my mother as well, for some apparent reason, we don't know why, at 3:15 in the morning, exactly at 3:15 in the morning. And basically what happens is that we wake up basically because we hear not really footsteps, but we hear kind of like noises, like somebody's rustling around in the house. We sometimes think that it's my daughter or probably it's like my dog or something, but when we get up and check, there's nobody there. My daughter is sound asleep. The dogs are sound asleep. The cat also is sound asleep. And we have no idea what's going on. Basically, also what happens is that when we lie back down after we check the entire house, we kind of get this feeling like we're being watched. We don't know. We don't feel like any type of, how do you say, evil presence in the house. But we feel some, like, kind of like something is watching us constantly. Even sometimes during the day, especially when we find ourselves alone in the house. If my mother's alone, she says she feels somebody, like, watching us. And also when I find myself in the house alone, they feel like somebody's watching me. Like I said, we don't know what it is. We've never had any type of ghostly apparitions or anything popping out at us. You know, I do believe in ghosts and, like, kind of like there's got to be more to this life than what we are. But at the same time, we're just kind of wondering what it is. I mean, my mom kind of thinks it's probably my dad or probably my grandmother kind of watching over us. But at the same time, I'm like, why 3:15 in the morning every night? Because I've heard that when you wake up at 3:15 in the morning, it's kind of like the ungodly hour where bad spirits tend to come out. So I have no idea. So I would really like your input on this, you know, because it's literally for the past month, every single night, exactly at around 3:15 in the morning, we wake up. And it's the same thing, like, we just feel like somebody wakes us up for some reason and we can't find the reason why. We check the entire house and it's clean, you know, there's nobody outside. Maybe you'll hear like a dog bark, but that's about it. So, I mean, I love the show. I hope I can get some input on this because it's not really freaking me out. It's just kind of like, I kind of want to know why this is happening. You know, it's just some kind of freaky thing, you know, that's going on between me and my mom. I don't know. Just would like some input. Thanks. Bye.
So that's interesting to me that it's happening to both of them.
Yeah. Well, remember when I was having that issue up in Burlington in the building, and I said to you, I've been having this thing happen and my talk radio goes off every night at, and it was like a kind of an odd time. Remember, it was like 2:15, 2:18, something, you know, like that. And I said, every, like for a week, it just keeps going off at 2:18 every night before bed. I check it. It doesn't. You were there one night and it did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there is something to this you know, every night at this one time. And we do hear a lot around 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you know, I was just looking at that and I looked that up and it said, some people believe that waking up at 3 a.m. is the witching hour. One explanation is that this is when a person's thoughts are waking, their thoughts are waking to be more apparent because it's a time between waking and sleeping. So you might be prompted to wake up by a friendly spiritual entity so that you have a better chance to receive an important message. So in your case, I think the important message was just like, hey.
Yeah, hello. Let me wake you right up. Well, that would be interesting, an interesting take on this, that somebody is trying to pass on a message. You know, while she was talking, I was thinking, has anybody tried to stay awake?
I don't think anything different would happen.
I mean, but if you were already wide awake and say you were out in the living room this time, not in the bedroom. And, you know, what if you shift the narrative, right? What if you kind of try to change a little bit and not be quite so in your regular routine? Would it still happen, or would you see something or hear something different? Or if you were awake already, would they be able to give you the information if they're trying to get you a message?
I think, too, you get in the rhythm of it. It's like, especially women in sleep, because all women, I swear, have problems with sleep. You go to bed knowing you're going to wake up at 3:15. So what happens is you're going to wake up at 3:15. There's no way
around that.
That
doesn't explain what they're hearing, though,
exactly.
This rustling kind of thing.
So the 3:15, they might just be now conditioned to wake up. It could be going on at other times during the night.
I'd like to see her try to do something different, like go to sleep on the sofa and see if it's different. Or try to stay up, watch movies till about 3, and just be awake and see if anything happens.
And
I think it's kind of worth a try, don't you?
And they were thinking maybe grandmother, father, you know. So is it somebody loving who's just checking on you at night? Because it says that the waking hours with waking time when someone can see spirits and wake to have more spiritual insights.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're not intentionally trying to wake you up, but it's somebody that you love and you're just so connected to them that they're there and you can feel that presence.
And then maybe you say, hey, Dad, like, you're so awesome, but you got to let me get a good night's sleep. Grandma, yeah.
Or do
let
you
me
need,
sleep.
Yeah, or, I think that's a really good idea. I think do something proactive in this situation. You know, change it, be awake, say something. Say, you know whoever you are. I feel that you love me. I feel that you care about me. Are you trying to get a message to me? Because... you know, this waking me up every night kind of thing isn't working, you know, or whatever. But let them know, I think. Don't you think?
I would. I'd try anything.
Like I said, it's bothering both of them. Maybe it's time to try a different approach.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
That's what I think.
You have to at that point.
And then let us know.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
I would love to know. And like I said, maybe fall asleep on the sofa instead of your bed, or try to stay awake. Or if it does wake you up and you hear it, as Carol suggested, I think it's a great idea to talk to them and say, I know you're here. You know I love you. It's okay. You don't have to check on me or whatever. I'm not sure. But whatever you feel you could say to them, to put them at ease, because it feels like maybe they're not totally at ease.
Just trying to get your attention. So if you like the show and you want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Do that through applepodcast.com. Try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.